that is a key. Anybody else have any thoughts on anything till this point here? Chapter 5, 1 through 13, that stands out to you. Something that I found, and you might find something that I haven't seen, but I think the last verse here, 13, I think that's the first time that we read of any praise to God in the book of Nehemiah. That's the first time. What do you think brought that praise? What do you think caused the praise to spring out from within in these people, in these people's lives? Steve.
I'm guessing it was simply the feeling of being free from the oppression or the debt that had been held against them. Now they were free from that and they could just function properly and grow. Mm-hmm.
Do you think the person that... let's say you owed me debt. Do you think those people in the city were also praising God?
Steve. Just reading that, I kind of wondered what type of mentality they had, because when Nehemiah spoke to them about it, it says they didn't say a word against him. Like they didn't argue with him. So to me, it almost seems like they knew they shouldn't have been doing it. It was just a matter of Nehemiah calling it out for what it was. And it seemed like they were quite willing to set the people free. So maybe they did feel a sense of freedom as well, because they were no longer feeling like anybody owed them anything, and they had this sense of freedom as well.
I like that. The people that owed a debt were free, but the people that thought they had everything in order and they took advantage of others where they could, when they realized they don't have to live that way, I think you could praise God. I think it would be time to celebrate, right? So there's just a lot of different stuff happening here. And I think that was a pretty exciting worship service right there. As people were really free in the heart from many different walks, many different ways of life. Have you ever, like every one of us, is a leader to someone, right? Have anybody ever tried to plan something or get something go where the people just weren't too excited about? Anybody ever done that? Or you had the feeling like, there's not too many people on this bandwagon, should we plan something else? Anybody ever felt like, I'm the only one in this plan? I think most of us have. Do you see what it says here? When they realized they were free, they praised God, and the people did as they promised. They went and did it, right? You didn't have to set any more props. We didn't have to persuade anything more. But, you know, those people were going to go a long ways with their freedom, right? When oppression leaves and people experience true freedom, that is going to go so much further than any manipulative thing that you could have gotten maybe a person to jump a couple hoops. See how much more powerful God's way is? And see how free you are yet, if you are a leader or something. You don't have to manage that, right? It's not for you to manage. You have spoken the truth. God has done a work in the person's heart, and he is off. That's beautiful. And all the assembly said, Amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did as they promised. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Do I have a volunteer for somebody to finish reading that chapter? Somebody want to read the remaining of that chapter? Verse 14 through the end. Mike up here.
Verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there was at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that had come to us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for this all required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people.
And that portion of scripture, is there anything that stands out to you as Nehemiah kind of goes over why he did what he did and was basically saying, I haven't taken advantage of you? Anything stand out there? Mike?
The governors and leaders before him had oppressed the people, and generosity fights against oppression.
Generosity fights against oppression. Never thought of that. Generosity fights against oppression. Anybody else? So could we really say then, if generosity fights against oppression, if we want, if we desire for others to prosper, that also fights against oppression? If we really want others to experience freedom, others to succeed in our hearts, that actually fights against oppression. I like that. Couple things, Ron back there.
Yeah, just I agree with what was said there, what's been said, and I think what made Nehemiah different than those oppressive leaders is both of them wanted to build Israel, rebuild Israel, but the oppressive people only saw Israel in its physical. They wanted a wall to save them from their enemies. They wanted statehood. They wanted it for themselves. And Nehemiah's heart was to rebuild Israel for the glory of God and the re-worshipping, bringing a people back to the worship of God. I think you see that in earlier talking about church life. You have two kinds of people in church life too. You have people that want to start a movement to make a point, and other people start a movement or worship together to bring glory to God, and the end is very different. By the time the next generation starts running the church, you can kind of see what that heart actually was.
Very true. Thank you. Actually, I think what Ron was just saying there's couple little words here in verse 15 and 16 that really, I think, highlight that is Nehemiah was doing this, he says, because of the fear of God. Right? That's why he was doing this. But then another interesting comment I see just further down is, I also persevered in the work on this wall, and we acquired no land. He acquired no land. If God blesses us and he uses us in his kingdom, do we acquire land of what God did through us? He didn't. He acquired no land. I think because he feared God and acquired no land, I think that also helped from oppression taking over. Let's just look at Nehemiah a little bit. He was a cupbearer, right? So he was a cupbearer. Do you think a cupbearer had good food? Like nice, really good food that tasted good? Yeah, he did, because he ate what the king ate. He had good food. Do you think he had good drinks? He had the best drinks that ever were served in that city, right? Do you think he had good accommodations? Very likely, because he had to live close. Because if the king wanted to eat something, come on, Nehemiah, taste it, see if you're going to fall over dead, right? He couldn't live down in a ghetto somewhere, right? I think he had good living quarters. He ate well, he drank well, and I think he had good accommodations. That's one. Now, not saying anything about the stonemasons around here. But imagine, I don't think they had nylon gloves back then. Imagine trying to restore a wall like with a stone mortar and grit, dirt, muscles, tired. There's a huge difference between the two, right? And he laid the cupbearer position down to go to be a stonemason for the glory of God. He sacrificed a lot. He did. And he acquired no land. And you know, he would have had the right to be a cupbearer, right? But he laid all that aside for the glory of God. I guess that's the challenge that I think we should embrace is if we have been freed from bondage, if we have been freed, set free from sin, if we've been redeemed for the sake of redemption of others, what are we willing to let go for that cause without acquiring any land? If we would take that and we would apply that, can any of us see a picture of God's church prospering and not being under oppression? I think so, right? Can you see that picture? That's beautiful. That's anybody have any other comments on that chapter? Steve.
You made a note there on the fact that he acquired no land. But if you keep on reading there, I find it interesting. He had some pretty serious out-of-pocket expenses too. Like where he was feeding, it says, now what was prepared at my expense for each day was one ox and six choice sheep and birds, and every 10 days all kinds of wine in abundance. Yet for all this, I did not demand the food allowance of the governor, because the service was too heavy on this people. I find that quite interesting too, because it doesn't, to me it doesn't look like he had a huge income, and yet obviously God prospered his flocks and his herds, and he was able to serve the church in that way without like making a lot of investment the way it looks to me.
Yeah, he did have a lot of expense there. For the glory of God. I'm not sure yet. I think I might have one more Bible study. I'm not sure how that's all going to come together yet. Yeah, we'll see. Thanks for your participation. I'll leave it at that if nobody else has any more thoughts.